Bethany Bruner with the Columbus Dispatch, and I'm here today to help break down some of the latest developments in the ongoing investigation into former Columbus Police Vice Officer Andrew Mitchell and the ongoing investigation of the Vice Unit. Within the last week or so since Andrew Mitchell first appeared in United States District Court, a lot has happened in this case, and a lot has happened with regard to the Vice Unit itself. Most notably, earlier this week, interim Columbus Police Chief Thomas Quinlan announced that the Vice Unit is going to be dissolved, that the officers that remained in that unit will be reassigned. They have contractually, based on the contract the union has with the police division, 70 days to apply for a new position within the division or be reassigned. So they'll still be working within the Vice Unit in some capacity until the beginning of June. However, Quinlan assured me that there will be no covert operations being done by that unit while that 70-day period is going on. Also, information that we learned this week is that Andrew Mitchell has filed his retirement papers with the division. Those papers are effective March 13th. So he is in the process of leaving the division. He is considered a former employee at this point. So the Ohio Police and Fire Pension Board has guidelines set out related to who can obtain a pension and what circumstances may allow for that pension to not be received, and that will ultimately depend on the outcome of the criminal case against Andrew Mitchell, which made another step forward, a small step forward, in the federal court system this morning. Andrew Mitchell appeared with his attorney for an arraignment before federal judge Edmund Sargas. He entered not guilty pleas to the 7 federal charges that have been filed against him. He was scheduled to also have a detention review hearing where evidence would be presented before Judge Sargas as to why Mr. Mitchell should be released or kept in detention pending his trial in federal court. Again, the federal court system does not operate like a typical local court system. There is no bond in the traditional sense in most cases. So it's essentially you are either kept in detention or you are released. Following a hearing on March 13th, Magistrate Judge Kimberly Jolson had ordered Mitchell to be held in detention pending his trial. And Mitchell's attorneys had filed a motion before Judge Sargas to have that hearing to reevaluate that decision based on a number of factors. And in the motion, Mark Collins, who is Andrew Mitchell's attorney, had talked about how Mitchell is not considered a flight risk. He has incentive to stay in the community. He has a lifelong ties to the Columbus community. And he's scheduled to testify in early April before a Franklin County grand jury related to the August 23rd shooting of Donna Castleberry, who was shot by Mitchell while he was working undercover in an unmarked police car. Now, two of Donna Castleberry's family members were in court today. They said that they felt that they needed to be there for Ms. Castleberry to keep her memory alive, and they wanted to see the person who had ended their loved one's life. We were expecting that detention hearing today. Ms. Castleberry's family members were expecting to have that detention hearing today. However, Mr. Collins made a motion to continue that hearing for a later date. He told members of the press after the hearing that he wants to get a better sense of what the evidence is in the case to present the strongest argument he can for his client's release. The government was okay with that. They filed a motion late Monday that released some new details in the case that we had not been privy to before. Particularly, there are two pieces of evidence that Mr. Collins said are prior bad acts. The government is saying they are factors to be considered when whether or not Mr. Mitchell should be released from custody. One of those is that when a search warrant was executed at Mr. Mitchell's home in the Sunbury area on September 26th, 2018, after he had been relieved of duty, the date that he allegedly lied to the FBI about having involvement with prostitutes in the past, the FBI executed a search warrant at that home, and they found what the government says were at least least 17 firearms within that home. They are concerned about that fact, given the fact that several of the witnesses have told them they are scared of him, they are fearful of retaliation. There is some concern on the government's part based on this motion that was filed late Wednesday as to whether or not those firearms could potentially be an issue. The other piece of evidence is something that both Mr. Collins and the government are using in their motions, obviously to differing points. Mr. Mitchell owns rental properties throughout Columbus. Mr. Collins has said there's approximately 51 units. Some of them are duplexes, some of them are apartment buildings, some of them are standalone homes. There's approximately 51 units that he owns and then leases out to folks. The government says in their motion that many of the people that he was renting to or who were tenants were drug addicts and or prostitutes, and that they would essentially trade sex for free or reduced rent. So there is some concern as to the pattern of behavior that Mitchell is accused of being involved in, related to the charges that he was using sex as a bargaining chip for women's freedom that he had arrested. That's the allegations that he's charged with. But there are also these allegations for which he has not been charged. He faces no criminal charges for his actions as a landlord. But the government is saying that there is some concern as to that particular pattern of behavior that should be taken into consideration by a judge in determining whether or not he should be kept behind bars pending trial or allowed to be released on some sort of supervision. That hearing, that detention hearing, will be held at some point in the future. Mr. Collins anticipated that it would probably be mid-April at the earliest when that would be held. There is a process that the attorneys will go through in terms of sharing evidence, and once Mr. Collins obtains that evidence and has some opportunity to review it, he said he would then file a motion to have that detention hearing and present evidence, potentially calling witnesses, presenting exhibits, in some ways a mini trial, before Judge Sargas to determine whether or not Mr. Mitchell should be released. In the meantime, Mr. Mitchell will remain in detention. He is being held at a corrections facility in Northwest Ohio. There are only certain jailing facilities within the state that are accepting of federal defendants, so he is at one of those. And he will remain there pending future proceedings. In this case, arrangements have been made, so we are told, to bring him down to Columbus for that Franklin County grand jury hearing in the first week of April. He has been subpoenaed to testify before that grand jury regarding the Donald Castleberry shooting. A decision on whether or not he might be charged in that case locally would be expected sometime after that testimony. When a grand jury might make a decision on that is entirely up to them. The grand jury process is very secret, and not a whole lot of details are released until after a decision has been made. So thank you for listening today. We'll keep bringing you the latest developments in this case as it progresses through the court system, and any details will be available on dispatch.com. Thank you for listening.